This is my second interview with Michael Lang. I interviewed him about a year ago, and I decided to catch up with him and find out what things were new in the realm of digital audio. I began by asking him what recorders had come out since the last time we'd spoken.
I think of three recorders especially. There's the new Edirol R09, about which there are a lot of contributions at blindcooltech.com. Then there is the Nagra RSM, a little handheld recorder with a built-in speaker. And there's the Sony PCM-D1, a super-duper high-priced flash recorder from Sony.
There was a review on main menu of another one of the Negra recorders, but I want you to talk about the Aries M, because I know you had been planning on trying to play with it, and you had said to me the last time we spoke that you definitely were going to get this recorder if you could, because for €1,000 you couldn't beat it. So tell me about it and what you've found out about it since you've taken a look.
Yeah, I had the chance to test it, and, well, I like devices with built-in speakers. It is so convenient to listen to one's recordings without having to use headphones. The Nagra has a built-in speaker. It doesn't sound hi-fi. You can use it as a control monitor, and you can record in Wave MP2 and with the newest firmware in MP3 as well. You can, of course, record in stereo, and you can also record in mono. This machine is built for ENG, for electronic news gathering. It's not built for musicians as the Edirol R09 is. You cannot record in 24-bit, only 16-bit. There is only 1 GB of built-in memory. If this is full, you have to connect the unit with its USB port to a PC and transfer the files to the PC. And so if you want to record that great 2 hours concert in Wave, no chance with the Nagra. But, as I said, you have the built-in speaker. You have a lot of recording formats, although a lot of people may not need MP2. And I see one problem with the Edirol R1 and R09, and since you have the R1, Tim, you might be able to say something about that. If you press the record button of the Edirol once, you are in record pause mode, and to record, you have to press it another time. But what if you did only press it weekly, and you do not know whether you've actually started the recording? How can you distinguish between record mode and record pause mode?
That's true, actually, and there is no way. Usually when I'm recording, I monitor with headphones. So what ends up happening is I hear the recording in my headphones, and then I will press the record button again. But that's correct. There's no way to actually tell. If you, by mistake, hit the record button once and forget to hit it again, you've lost your recording.
Yeah. With a Nagra, you have a record slide switch, and if you slide that switch, you are recording. So if you hear your voice in the headphones or a radio which you connected via the line in, you are recording. The Nagra has a record pause feature. You can set it to record pause before you record so that you can adjust the recording level control, but you can also record immediately. You can also go from stop mode to record mode immediately. The casing is of metal, not a plastic casing as you have with the Edirols. You have 2 mini jacks for line-in and microphone. You have a menu which is relatively simple to operate, but you also have a setup menu, and for this I would use somebody sighted to help me, because it is quite complicated, it is quite sophisticated, but if you adjust everything to your likings, you can do all the things one needs in the normal menu. You can create templates. There are 2 kinds of templates, compression templates and input device templates. And you can call an input device template, let's say DIN MIC for dynamic microphone. You would set the gain higher than with a condenser microphone, and you would disable plug-in power. So you can adjust a couple of parameters for every input device template. And you would adjust these parameters in the setup menu, and you can then just go from template to template in the normal menu. The biggest disadvantage of the Nagra, in my opinion, is that it turns its display off by default after a couple of minutes. It seemingly has a very power-consuming display, and if you are recording and did not do anything, did not press any key for a couple of minutes and then press the stop play key to stop the recording, it wouldn't stop. You just would have woken up the display, and to definitely stop the recording, you had to press the stop button. Again, if you know that and if you remember it, it's no problem, but at least my first tries with the Nagra, I had a lot of difficulty with that feature, so to speak, feature.
Does it have USB connectivity to transfer your files over, Michael?
Yes, but only 1.1, and the built-in flash is actually even lower, slower than 1.1. So if you record in WAV and you have, let's say, 800 megs recorded, you would need, I think, at least half an hour to transfer this to a PC. This is another disadvantage. The Nagra people have said that they did that because the flash memory which they use cannot be faster. So it wouldn't have made sense if they implemented a USB 2 connection because the flash memory is slow.
Talk about the difference between phantom power and plug-in power, and does the Nagra take mics that use traditional phantom power?
No, it doesn't. The difference between phantom power and plug-in power is that phantom power is a feature for music pros. It provides much more power, approximately 48 volts, and plug-in power is a feature for consumer-type people. The current is between 2 and 10 volts, and you use plug-in power on mini jacks while you use phantom power on XLR input jacks. If you touch a mini plug stereo microphone socket, you know that it either has plug-in power or it doesn't, but it definitely does not have phantom power. And the other way around, it works as well. If you come you detect an XLR input, you know that it might have phantom power, but it definitely doesn't have plug-in power.
Now, does the Nagra have a built-in microphone?
Yes, but it's not very good. I think one can forget it. You cannot adjust the recording level control. Some people from the German distributor said to me that it uses another board in the unit. It is just for dictation, this built-in microphone. But with the Nagra comes a little stereo microphone which you can plug directly onto the unit, and this one has a windscreen, and this is the built-in microphone of the Nagra for me. This is very convenient. You don't have to use any cable. However, the microphone is not extremely good. You can use it. You get quite nice recordings, but you get a bit of noise, and I would not use this plug-on microphone for recordings which I wanted to broadcast via the radio.
Did you hear the review that was done on Blind Cool Tech of another Nagra recorder, actually a much more expensive recorder, but it sounded like quite a nice recorder. A guy from, I think, England did that review.
It was a great review. I think the person is called Gary O'Donoghue. I heard from him for the first time when I listened to his review. A great man, a blind man who works for the BBC. And the Ares BB Plus, I think it was the Ares BB Plus which he reviewed, is quite significantly bigger than the Ares M. As somebody said to him, it looks like a whiskey bottle. And I think it has XLR, you can use compact flash. Nagra calls the Ares M ultra portable. It is a recorder which you can put into a pocket. It is quick, but it's not as powerful and doesn't have a preamp as good as the Ares BB Plus.
Okay, now, Michael, let's move on to the second device that you mentioned, and a lot of people have actually, on the Blind Cool Tech, have purchased this, the Eterol R1 and the Eterol R9. I'd like to hear your thoughts on these two recorders, and I guess particularly the R9, which has just come out, and there's been some extensive reviews on, as you said, on Blind Cool Tech on these two recorders?
I'm not so enthusiastic about the IDI Rolls, I have to say, because I think the Plex Talks are better. They are a bit bigger and they are a bit more expensive, but this required pause problem, which I mentioned previously, the Plex Talks also use this mechanism. If you press the record key once, you are in record pause mode. If you press it a second time, you are recording. But you can easily distinguish between the two by pressing and holding the info button. The PTR2 says recording when it is recording, and it says pause when it's in record pause mode. And you have so many great accessibility features on the PTR2. You can, whenever you want, hear how much time has elapsed in your recording and how much time you still have. There are so many of these. I mean, there is no display. The recorder has to speak everything. And with the Edirol R1 or R09, if the battery goes flat, the PTR2 will tell you, even if it is recording. If the battery goes flat on the Edirol, you do not notice it unless you wear headphones. And these are the things which I prefer on the PTR2. Nevertheless, the Edirols are really fascinating recorders. They have great built-in stereo microphones. The one of the R09 seems to be even better than that of the R1, louder. So it's definitely not a bad recorder, the R9.
One reason that I purchased the R1 as opposed to the R9 was that although the R1 does have it, as you said, not as loud a preamp as the R9. I looked at the specs, and the thing that I use a lot of dynamic microphones, and the thing that interested me was that while the R1's microphone impedance was 6.8 k-ohms, the R9's impedance was 20 k-ohms, and I thought that was a huge difference.
I never heard of that. So you mean that you can make louder recordings with an external mic on the R1?
I haven't done any tests between the two units because I only have the R1, but I think, because most of the professional or semi-professional mics, say from Audio Technica or Sennheiser, are somewhere in the range of 150 to 600 ohms. I purchased the R1 because I wanted to make sure that it would work fairly well with all my mics. Now, it's a little bit softer, of course, with a dynamic mic than with a condenser, but I think if I did a test that I would find that the dynamics work better on the R1. And the other interesting thing is I have a friend who has a Marantz PMD660, and he was told that that recorder, although it has XLR inputs and although it has phantom power, that recorder, and he looked up the specs and the microphone impedance was quite high, that recorder was terrible with dynamic microphones, which is interesting to me because a lot of, you know, NPR people here in the States and a lot of people in the news gathering business still use dynamic mics.
Yeah, I think the preamp of the 660 is terrible no matter what microphones you use. It produces a whining noise, which at least I can hear. I can even hear when I use external microphones. So maybe one could connect a preamp to the Marantz line-in and use it that way. By the way, I had the chance to test the Sound Professionals preamped microphone, the SP PASM 2, and it is wonderful. It is really a nice little box. You can use it as a microphone or as a preamp.
Is that the one that you actually, you it'll plug into the line-in of your recorder?
Right. It has a cable on it, which you can disconnect from it with a mini plug. You can also connect it to a microphone input socket because the preamp is so flexible. There is a switch with three positions, 0 dB, I think the other ones are plus 29 and plus 50, and so you can use the preamp with a normal microphone input socket, and there is a knob with which you can fine-tune the volume of the preamp. It is very flexible.
It's a very quiet preamp. I have one of the preamps that doesn't have the microphone attached, and the only thing that I found about it, and I like the preamp, it's very nice, it's very portable. My only complaint about it is that most microphones, if you run them on the 50 dB setting, they seem to overload it.
Yes, I can't do anything about it. No matter how far I turn the knob to the left to make the signal softer, I get overload sounds with a 50 dB setting most of the time.
I suspect that's probably because it's a battery preamp. I have another preamp, which is a plug-in preamp, and it doesn't seem to have that problem. So I suspect it for some reason. But it is a nice preamp. And I have to say, Michael, speaking of sound professionals, do you notice that more and more people on Blind Cool Tech and more podcasts are using these binaural in-ear microphones?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would like to have one someday. The sound can't be as clear as with a mic which you hold in your hand, because the mics are to the right and to the left of you, and you do not speak directly into these microphones. But nevertheless, a lot of people like them, and why not? They definitely don't sound bad.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me about them is if you listen with headphones on, they really give you as a blind person, and sometimes it's almost too much, because if you hear Larry doing his podcast or some of these other people and they walk by a building and you can hear the building, they almost give you a totally three-dimensional experience as if you're there, and it's pretty freaky.
I never listened to these podcasts with headphones. I have to try that.
Yeah, you will think you're in another reality. It's pretty amazing, but
I would like to say one more thing about this microphone stereo separation thing. This is the thing which I find most fascinating on the Sony ECM-MS-907. It definitely doesn't sound as good as the Audio-Technica AT-822, but the stereo separation of this thing is fantastic.
Oh, you mean especially if you put the switch in the wide position?
Right, yes. It's really great. Great stereo sound. Not the rest of the sound isn't that great, but the stereo separation is really fine.
It's a nice microphone. The only problem I've found with it is it doesn't tend to handle high sound pressure levels as well as, say, the 822 does.
Yeah, and it doesn't have as many highs and bass as the AT-822. So I would prefer the AT-822 most of the time. But, well, perhaps the binaural mics are the best solution. They have a good stereo separation and sound good.
Yeah, if you listen with headphones, I think if you listen through speakers, you don't get the same effect. But another mic, since we're talking about microphones, Michael, another mic that I would recommend you that I just purchased, if you are looking for a good condenser Omni microphone that I just purchased that I like quite a bit, that will run on either Phantom power, I think 12 to 48 volts, or will run on a AA battery, is the Audio-Technica ATM, as in mic, 10A. I think it's rated at like 20 to 20,000 hertz frequency response, and it's got quite nice audio. I'll send you a sample.
Oh, great. Is it stereo?
No, it's mono, but I like it because particularly for doing interviews or for recording somebody up close, I prefer usually a Omni over a cardioid or a hypercardioid, because you don't have the proximity effect that you do with a cardioid or a hypercardioid microphone.
Yeah, there are quite a few interviewing techniques. Some people use a cardioid and hold it close to themselves when they talk and close to the other person to get a great sound from them. A friend of mine nearly hit the teeth of his interview partner with this technique. Other people use an 8822, and so that the one interview is on the left and one on the right, and you use an omnidirectional. That's interesting.
The thing I like about the 822, by the way, the other point to make about that mic is the thing I love is the roll-off switch, because it's almost like having two microphones in one, and if you're in a situation where you're either in a room where there's an air conditioning unit or you're outside and it's a windy day, that roll-off switch really helps.
Yeah, that's a good switch, right.
Now, I want to get back to the PTR2, but I have to compliment you, because I heard the little demo that you did of your PTR2, and I was very jealous, not of the PTR2 per se, but of the fact that you probably have the best windows in terms of masking out outside noises of anyone I've heard. I couldn't believe how quiet your apartment was when you closed the windows.
Yeah, we have isolating windows here in this flat, And this isolation is very effective.
Very effective. I mean, when you opened the windows and we could hear the traffic, I thought I was in another world. I was amazed. But yeah. I want you to talk about the PTR2 because I know it has replaced the PTR1. And one of the things that I found very interesting about the PTR2 that they added was that built-in AGC on the PTR2 is incredible.
Well, I like it with a line in, but with a microphone input, I'm not so sure. I think it pumps too much.
Do you think, I think they probably designed it for people who'd be in a class, you know, recording, say, in the back of a classroom. And in that situation, it might do the trip. It might do the trick.
Yeah, sure. That would be a good kind of recording for this AGC, right? But if you wanted to create high-quality recordings for the radio, I would not use the AGC of the PTR2. I think the mini disc recorders from Sony are still the ones with the best AGC. I mean, the AGC of the Edirol R09 got a lot of praise, but somebody at tapersection.com wrote that it makes noises, and by the way, the Nagra Aris M AGC makes noises too. So, and the Nagra is very noisy. I mean, if I close the window with the Aris M in recording mode and the AGC turned on, I get a clicking noises when the AGC goes softer and then louder again.
Rob Meredith actually did a review, and he actually a technical review of the R9, and he actually mentioned that it's been referred to as kind of a zipper noise.
Yeah, right. Larry, I do not know what he did with his dog, but he provoked his dog to bark a lot, and that sounded great with the Edirol AGC, so I don't know why it sometimes makes these zipper noises and sometimes it doesn't.
Do you like all the new features of the PTR2 over the PTR1? I know there are some people that actually still own both recorders.
Yes, I'm one of these people. I like some things better on the PTR1. The casing has a very nice feel. This book style design is really great, and it can play 8-centimeter CDs, 3-inch CDs, which the PTR2 cannot play, at least not without an adapter. And, well, sometimes a microphone input without plug-in power is better. I mean, there are some people say that you may not use a dynamic mic with a plug-in powered socket. And other people say it doesn't matter. It's important when you use phantom power microphones, but it isn't important with plug-in power mix sockets. But the Edirol manuals, they always say, do take care whether you disable or enable the plug-in power, because if you enable it and use a dynamic mic, the mic may be damaged. So I don't know.
I know some companies actually sell cable with an XLR at one end and an 1/8-inch or a 3.5-millimeter plug at the other that has a little resistor in it to block the plug-in power from the particular recorder so that it won't damage the microphone that you're using.
I have that too, yeah.
Another recorder that you mentioned in our introduction here, this new Sony recorder, I haven't heard anything about this, so tell me all about this new recorder.
It was first mentioned in October of 2005, and a lot of people said, wow, that really sounds interesting. A $2,000 recorder from Sony with a titanium casing, which Sony says is extremely hard. The concept of this recorder is the built-in mics are the most important thing. The main purpose of this recorder seems to be so that you can use it without cables. It has a tripod socket, so you can screw it onto a mic stand and without any cables can record in a concert hall, for instance. All the switches and controls on the unit are, according to Sony, very noise-free, so you can record something and shake the unit and it won't give any noise. Unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to try one out, And I do not think that I will ever have the chance because the thing seems to be very rare. I actually haven't seen one in Germany. If you search for PCM-D1, PCM-D1 on eBay.com, you will find a couple of machines. At least I found some when I did this search 3 or 4 days ago. But it's not very widespread. And interestingly, the taper section people weren't very enthusiastic. They said that the machine is much too expensive, with $2,000. Sony made it so that you can use the built-in stereo microphone very well, but there are a lot of situations in which you want to use an external microphone, and then this machine is way too expensive. The taper section people also complained about the fact that it does not have XLR input. Nevertheless, I really would like to try such a Sony. I mean, I've heard that if you use a studio headphone, and make a recording with a Sony, you hardly hear any noise if you turn the power up. So the thing seems to be really sensitive and very noise-free.
Does it use flash memory?
Yes, it has 4 gigabytes of built-in flash memory, and you can. It has another drive for Memory Stick Pro, which can also be up to 4 gigabytes.
Let's stay with Sony for a minute here, Michael, because you mentioned mini discs, and we are now in the third or fourth generation of mini discs, and the latest recorder that's coming out that everyone is raving about is the Sony MZR1, and I want you to comment on that recorder. They have really touted it as a recorder that's gotten over all the problems that the old recorders have, and do you think it's too little too late for the mini disc?
Yeah, mini disc is a zombie now. Sony said that the RH1, the MZ-RH1, would be available in June in Germany, but I haven't seen it anywhere here. I don't know whether you can buy it in the U.S., but a couple of people have it. I mean, there is the Minidisc forum at minidisc.org, and there is a lot of talk about the RH1. Actually, there are quite a few people who prefer the older RH10. They say it's a better player because it has a much bigger built-in display, and you can jump from group to group with just the recorder. If you want to do that with the RH1, you have to use the remote of the RH1 to do that, because all the playback features are only on the remote of the RH1. The RH1 has the better recording features. You can set it to manual recording mode, and the recorder will remember this setting, and you can forget the auto, the ATC, if you want to do that. And the other very interesting and great feature of the RH1 is, of course, that you can upload from mini discs which aren't recorded in high MD mode.
Yes.
You can use a 10-year-old MD, for instance, and directly upload to your PC. I mean, Sonic Stage is not very nice, especially for blind people, but one can use it. I haven't been able to select certain tracks with Sonic Stage, but I can select all and then upload the whole MD.
Do you think that overall that the mini disc recorders in general still have quieter preamps than the Edirols or the Marantzes or some of these new flash recorders?
Yes, I think so. A lot of people have said that the MD preamps are very quiet. I especially remember Neil Ewers, who repeatedly said that. But it's not important in all situations. I mean, if you are outside and make a recording, you won't hear the noise of the preamp of, say, the Nagra Aries M. This preamp is also not as soft as the one of the mini disc recorders. This is only important in very quiet environments.
One of the other kind of big things that we've seen, and this has been a lot of people in the Blind Cool Tech have taken advantage of this, are the new Olympus recorders, the W300 series.
Yeah, they are fascinating. I mean, the I think it's called the WS200S, can record in The recorder with the best quality is the DS2. It can record in WMA 128 kbps, and it makes the Neil Ewers snake test. So if you say, you don't hear any artifacts as you do with the 320M, for instance, because the 320M has a maximum recording quality of 64 kbps. It's nevertheless a great recorder. It has 1 gigabyte of built-in memory. It has MP3, and you can do a lot of things with it.
Why do you think Olympus chose to use Windows Media as a recording format as opposed to MP3?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, perhaps they thought that one can achieve a better audio quality with 64 kbps. I don't know. Perhaps this is the reason, perhaps not.
Another recorder that's, it's a player, but it actually does have record features. And I have to say, the thing that mystified me most about this recorder when it first came out and when I heard about it was the fact that, if I'm correct, one jack doubles as a microphone jack and a headphone jack.
The milestone.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I'm not a fan of the Milestone. Another recorder for the blind, but this time I think there are too many disadvantages. And then they in the US, the distributor isn't even allowed to tell which company manufactures it. I mean, if you ask them, I forgot the name. If you ask the US distributor, they won't tell you that you can find the manufacturer at bones.ch, and they said they aren't allowed to tell that.
Have they sold a lot of these recorders, Michael, in Switzerland? I guess that's where it was developed.
Yes, it is quite popular here in Germany. I don't know about Switzerland, and they are now developing a Daisy player for the recorder, and that's very interesting. I think if this Daisy playing module works well, I would like to have one, because with a book part, you have to use the special transfer software, which converts every Daisy book into its own format, and this takes time, and the Milestone, as much as I know, will be able to play Daisy titles in the original normal format.
Speaking of the book port, the rumor is that the new book port that's coming out next year is going to have a much improved recording capability.
Oh, really?
Yeah, record in MP3 and...
I didn't know that they plan to release a new book part next year. That's great.
One of the players, actually, speaking of MP3 players, one of the players, I just purchased one of these, and I don't know if you've had a chance to play with this or have heard about this, but I love mine, is the Creative Muvo Mix.
I have heard about Muvos. There are a lot of different Muvos. I don't think that I have heard about the Muvo Mix.
It's got 512 megs of RAM, so it doesn't have, obviously, as much as some of the other recorders, but it hooks up to a USB port, and it's very easy to use. It will only remember the place in the last file you were at. It's only got a couple buttons on it, and I transfer all my podcasts to it now, and I love it. I didn't have a good MP3 player, and it runs off one single AAA battery, and you're supposed to get, I think, 12 or 13 hours. And with rechargeable AAAs, I'm getting like double that time. The audio actually is doesn't have a built-in speaker, of course, but the audio through headphones is quite good.
My favorite Flash MP3 player is still, I mean, not dictation recorder, but really a Flash MP3 player is still the Nextway NMP612T, which is a bit old now, but it has such a nice three-position switch for MP3, hold, and radio. And recording is so easy with this one, especially when you use the SP PASM 2 from Sound Professionals. You can just, if you just record, you will use the built-in microphone. If you are in radio mode, you will use the radio as your source. And if you connect something to the line-in, you will use the line-in as a source. This is the case with every recording boombox. But with most other MP3 players, you have to select the input source via a menu.
Was there ever any thought, do you know, of, say, making a PTR unit that just used flashcards instead of having the CD drive?
I don't think so, no, because I think Plextor gets money from the state to create Daisy recorders. And since talking books are on CD, in Japan, they have to include a CD drive, which makes the unit a bit bigger, but well, the advantage is that you can use it to listen to talking books.
The Rockbox people apparently now are working on a firmware version for the iPods.
I've heard that too, yeah. But you always hear, it's available for this player and it's available for this player, but they do not tell you whether it's ready yet or whether it's just an alpha or beta version. So I don't know if the Rockbox version for the iRiver H300 models is officially released yet. The problem with Rockbox for me is that it can only spell names, and I think this whole talking MP3 player thing gets interesting when mobile phones with great MP3 players come out, because if they use Symbian, you can use a screen reader like Talks or Mobile Speak, or Jonathan did a review of his new PDA, and I like the MP3 player of it quite well. You could say Beatles, and the thing would play some Beatles tracks, and this is great. I think this actually is the future of talking MP3 players.
If your budget was unlimited at this point in terms of recorders, Michael, would you get yourself either something like the Sound Devices 722?
Again, accessibility. I think the fun of the PTR2 is that it's so accessible. And while Neil Ewers showed a lot of tricks in his review, one doesn't have to use these tricks with the PTR2. I mean, the Sound Devices may have the quieter preamp and some other great features, but if I had an unlimited budget, I probably would get myself a Sony PCMD1 first to try out this, at least that Sony says, this very good built-in stereo microphone. And I also like to hold Sony devices in my hand, because they have a special feel.
They do make good. I mean, I still own two Sony mini-disc recorders, and I don't use them that much anymore because I just hate that. They're the older machines, so the transfer time, of course, takes forever. But they were good machines, and I know a lot of people still swear by them. And, you know, we all, I guess, have to end up making decisions. And I had decided that I was going to get the R1 because I was just tired of recording hours and hours of stuff and having to transfer it in real time over to the PC.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good flash recorder, and you can take the card out if you want and put it into a compact flash reader, or if you have a compact flash slot on your PC, you can put it in there. Sure, it's a great recorder.
It actually has a USB port in it, so you don't even need to take the card out if you don't want to. You can just copy the files over. You think we're going to see more of these flash recorders?
The Fostex FR2LE is supposed to come out in the next months. And in my opinion, this is the most interesting new recorder. I mean, Fostex has one called FR2, but it's quite expensive, and I think it uses 8 AA cells and only can record for up to 2 hours with it. But the new one is, according to Fostex, smaller and uses fewer batteries and can record longer with it. It has a built-in speaker, but I do not know more facts about it, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you use that Sound Professionals mic that you mentioned, the preamp? Do you use that with the PTR2?
No, not very often. I like the Sound Professionals for my Nextway MP3 player with a line-in socket. It's also great to test AGCs. I mean, you can turn the volume of the preamp up, and you can overload every AGC and test what it does, whether it just distorts or what it does if you overload it.
And of course, you're still using SoundForge 8 as your editor of choice these days?
Yes, I think SoundForge is still the best.
Although Studio Recorder, I guess, is coming up close behind, although Studio Recorder does not yet support DirectX plugins.
Studio Recorder is great. I tried a demo and listened to Jonathan Moulton's review, and it's a great program, definitely.
Are you still running your list for recorders? Do you want to give that information out? And do you want to give out your email address in case people want to get in touch with you that have questions about any of this stuff?
Oh, sure. And my email address is michael.lang, L-A-N-G, @fastmail.com. Anchor.fm. By the way, this is a great email provider, especially their pay accounts. They have a good spam filter, and the website is really accessible. So if somebody is looking for a good pay mail provider, they should try Fastmail. And my voice recorder's mailing list, although there's not much going on there at the moment, I can't remember it at the moment, but you can search for VoiceRec-L on Google, and I think you will find all the details there.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. I look forward to you getting your hands on one of these new Fostex recorders and doing a review of it, and so we can hear how quiet your windows are again.
Yeah, thank you. It was really great to talk to you, and yeah, maybe I can do another English language review on my site or Blind Cool Tech or wherever.